Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about healing. I have a series entitled, God Wants You Well. And that is absolutely the truth. I don't care what is going on in your life. I don't care what anybody else has told you, whether it's doctors or religious people telling you that you're going to die, or Christians telling you that God wants you sick, that God did it to you. That is not true. I'm going to be sharing things with you from God's Word that I believe are going to make an impact on you. And as the Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Most people have not heard the truth that God really wants you well. Now, Christians have heard that God can heal. Anybody who reads the Bible cannot deny the fact that God can do miracles. I mean, there are 8 individuals in the Scripture that were raised from the dead. There are blind eyes that were opened, deaf ears that were opened, the lame walked, the dumb talked. I mean, if you read the Bible, any person has to believe God can do these things. But believing that God can do it and believing that God wants to do it and that He has empowered you and given you the power to actually release healing, to control healing, now that is something that is not understood. Matter of fact, that's actually fought against. You will find that many, many people come out against teaching on healing because if it is true that God wants you well, that He wants every person well, and that there's things we can do to appropriate that healing and make it manifest in our life. If that's true, well then what about all of the people who've died? What about all of the people who are suffering? And what do we say about that? And many people, rather than sit there and say that we are operating at less than what God desires, it's much easier just to sit there and say, no, it's God's will that all of these sicknesses and diseases happen, that this is just a part of life, that we have to accept it and roll with the punches. It's easier to acknowledge that because it takes no effort on your part. You don't have to seek God. You don't have to believe God. There's no risk of failure. Whatever is God's will just automatically comes to pass. But that's not true. And I'm going to be sharing some things that I guarantee you are going to be controversial. You know, it's amazing to me that people fight so hard for the right to be sick. Now, I am not condemning anybody who's sick. I'm not condemning anybody who's lost and saying that that's a terrible person and that stuff. Many times people just don't know because they've never heard the truth and stuff. I'm not condemning people who don't know the Lord. I'm not condemning people who are sick. But I am saying that you do not have to live separate from the Lord. You can choose to be saved and you can choose to be healed. It is not God who sovereignly chooses to heal one person and not heal another person any more than God sovereignly chooses to save one person and not save another. It is God's will that every person be saved and come to repentance. And it's also God's will that all of us be healed. And as we learn the truths from God's Word about this, these truths are going to set you free. And I know that there are going to be tens of thousands of people healed because of these TV programs that we're making sharing these truths. So I'm just saying these things as introduction because I know that this is a hot issue and there are many people upset about this. You know, recently we had an article written about us in the Gazette paper, the Colorado Springs paper, and it was about us moving up to our new facility in Woodland Park. And the vast majority of the article was very favorable, but the last two paragraphs, they quoted the previous mayor of Woodland Park, the one who was mayor when we began the permit process, and they, I guess a journalist feels like they have to present the other side of the story, and everybody now is really excited about us being there. So they went back to this previous mayor and interviewed him. And there was a statement in the paper that he made. He says, we don't need these kind of people in Woodland Park. We don't want their ideology. They believe they can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And Andrew even believes that people can be raised from the dead. We don't want these kind of people in Woodland Park. You know, it just amazed me. It just absolutely amazed me that somebody would react that way. But I know that that's the way that a lot of people are. There are a lot of people that fight for sickness. Because if what I'm going to be teaching is true, well, then in a sense, it condemns other people. I don't mean it to be condemning, but it shows that there is more, that there is a level of victory available through Christ that the vast majority of people are not living in. And rather than change, and rather than admit that there's something I don't know, and rather than say that, you know, I don't have to be sick every flu season, I don't have to live with all of these things, it's just so much easier to be like everybody else, and therefore anybody who comes along saying that there's more and that you can live at a higher level and that you can walk in divine healing, and not only can you be healed, but you can be an instrument of God flowing through and you can see other people heal and raised from the dead and blind eyes open and good things happen. Rather than admit that, it's easier to just condemn that. Don't rock the boat. Don't sit here and tell me that I'm missing out on something. Don't say that there's something more. It's going to interfere with my, you know, watching As the Stomach Turns on television and being carnal and just sitting down and doing stuff. You mean I might have to get into the Word of God? I might have to start believing God? I might have to stretch myself and start doing something more than what my unsaved neighbor does? And most people aren't willing to do that. And so they will sit there and put up with sickness and disease, pain, suffering, grief, sorrow. They'll see people die premature, and it's just easier to say, well, it was all God's will. You know, I'm going to get into this in much more detail. I'm just saying these things by way of introduction. But if people really believe that God is the one who wants you sick, and that it's God's will, and that this is just our lot in life, and that God is somehow or another working a redemptive purpose and accomplishing some good in our life through all of this suffering. There's many people that teach that, and I'm going to be dealing with this in more detail, specifically talking against that kind of stuff. But if people really believed what they say they believe, then they'd never go to the doctor, they'd never take medicine, they'd never have a surgery. If God is the one who put this on you to teach you something, why are you going to so much effort to try and get out of God's will? See, that's hypocritical. It's not logical. It just is inconsistent. Everybody tries to fight against sickness. I mean, I couldn't tell you the number, the amount of money, but it's probably one of the largest expenses in people's lives today is pills, medication, preventative type things. I mean, medicine is just huge, and doctors, and there you can turn and find a medical facility on nearly every corner because people want to be well. But then you start sharing from the Word of God what it says, how it's God's will and how He has given us the power to heal and to walk in health, and you start saying this and people will get mad. They reject God's healing. They reject supernatural healing, but they will go to huge expense, and I mean suffer terrible, terrible things in an effort to get healed, but they just don't want to do it through God. They believe that that is radical. They believe that that's extreme. So I'm just saying that, you know what, I know that this is a hot issue. I know that there are going to be people who disagree with me, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to force things on people, but I am saying that I am seeing supernatural results in this area of healing, even to the point of seeing my own son raised from the dead after he had been dead between 4 and 5 hours. He was raised from the dead with no brain damage. I've seen the supernatural power of God. Now, you're either going to have to call me a liar and say that's not true, or you're going to have to sit there and somehow or another try and accommodate what I'm saying. This is my testimony. I've seen it happen not only to me, but through me to other people. We played a story yesterday about Nikki Oshinsky. The doctor was on there saying that she was so bad that he didn't expect to see her at the appointment next week. She was on the verge of death, and yet she was just instantly raised up, miraculously healed. We now have 4 volumes with around, I think it's 5 people on each volume, so it'd be around 20 testimonies of miraculous healing, people raised from the dead, a little baby born with a partial heart that was healed. We've got a person We'll be playing these things as we go through this series. That had a tumor on his chest. I mean, it was huge. It was as big as both of my fists clenched on his chest. And tentacles running all out through his chest. Cancer. And just on the last stages, and got hold of the Word of God and was totally healed. And today works for me and answers our phones. If you call in, you might be able to get Mike or Caroline Hesch, who are answering the phones. We've got Ken and Virginia Woods back there who was miraculously healed. I'm just saying, those of you who sit there and you are choosing to say, I just don't believe this stuff can happen, you are going to have to stick your head in the sand and ignore these things. You're going to have to call me a liar. You're going to have to do something. But I'm telling you, it is consistent with the Word of God. And I'm going to be sharing with you the things that I have received from God that have caused me to walk in this level of victory. I'm not perfect in this area. I'm not presenting that as being perfect, but I'm saying it's working for me better than it's working for most people. Until you get to where you're seeing better results, until you get to where you see more people raised from the dead and blind eyes open and deaf ears open and people coming out of wheelchairs, until you get to where you have something that's working better than what I do, you ought to at least consider this. These truths are working. I've got verifiable, tangible evidence. We're sharing from Scripture, yes, and that's going to be the foundation of everything that I teach. But you know, the Scripture says over in Revelation chapter 12 that they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I tell you, I believe testimonies to show that these things are happening today, that God is still alive today, that God is still doing miracles today. It's not Jesus that has changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed. The only thing that has changed is His people not believing the Word of God. Jesus started the new covenant in miracles. He used miracles like a dinner bell to draw people's attention to the feast, to the truths that He had to share with them. And then His disciples did the exact same thing. The New Testament church was conceived in miracles. And for decades, maybe millennia or hundreds of years, the church operated in the supernatural power of God. But then they went through the dark ages and it has been resurrected. Now we are preaching once again salvation by grace and not through just church membership and all of the rituals. But it still has not seen the total revival of the miraculous power of God. There are certain segments, certain individuals that of course have seen this. And if you go back through church history since the time of Jesus, you can see that this has happened throughout all of these years. But as a whole, the body of Christ still does not embrace the supernatural healing power of God. Certainly not the way that the Scripture teaches. You know, there's so many scriptures on this. Let me just take one over here out of Matthew chapter 10. This is where Jesus commanded His disciples to go out and to preach the gospel. And in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Not some, not just a few, but all sickness and all disease. He gave His disciples that power. And we still have that same power today. The fact that it's not executed or exercised very often doesn't mean that we don't have it. God has given this power to all of His believers. In Mark chapter 16, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That is a command to His disciples. This is what He was telling them, some of His very last instructions before He was caught up into heaven. And right here in Matthew chapter 10, as they went out, here are some of His instructions that Jesus gave His disciples. In verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." That means that it's now. In other words, you don't have to wait any longer. The power of God is now here. And in verse 8, He says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." You know, that verse is a command. It is not a suggestion. He's telling his disciples how to go represent him. And he said, go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. It's amazing how that they basically, the church as a whole, has just ignored verse 8. And they take verse 7 and says, go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the church has just, for whatever reason, said, we're going to go and tell people that Jesus came to forgive them of their sins, but they aren't going to preach healing. They aren't going to cast out devils and deliver people from these things. They have just chose to think that those things aren't applicable or that they certainly aren't the focus. I've actually had people attack me before and criticize me, saying, you're making a big deal out of healing. And they will admit and say, God can heal if He wants to, but you should not emphasize this. You should not be preaching on healing. You ought to spend your time on television preaching the gospel. Well, the healing is a part of the gospel. If you took the life of Jesus, and I'm going to be taking many of these scriptures, I'm not going to have time to be able to take all of them, because literally there is more in the gospels in Jesus' ministry about healing the sick than there is preaching about anything else, heaven or hell, about anything else. Jesus spoke more about healing, and more scripture is written about Jesus healing people than anything else. A person who is sitting there saying, I'm putting an undue emphasis on it, I believe that they are not doing credit to the Lord by emphasizing it as much as Jesus did. Again, I say that Jesus used miracles like a bell to draw people's attention. And He did it specifically so that He could meet their physical needs, meet them where they are, and then minister to them on the spiritual level. Jesus did this. Jesus said of Himself, I believe it's in John chapter 5, He says, I only do what I see my Father do. I can't do anything of myself. I only do what I see Him do. And if you put that together with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, where it says Jesus is the express image of God. And that word express image there means a perfect representation, an exact copy. In other words, Jesus showed us God perfectly. And Jesus never failed to heal any person. Now, there are some people that refuse the healing that He offered them, but Jesus never refused to heal anybody. He never put sickness on anybody. As a matter of fact, when Peter was preaching the gospel to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he said this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He said how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Peter said it was good, this healing, not bad. Many Christians today will say, that's of the devil. Healing people is not bad, it's good. It said He healed all, not some, but all. That shows that this isn't random. It's not God just sovereignly choosing to heal one person and skip over another. No, Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. Sickness is not God's messenger. It is not God's way of getting your attention. It is an attack from the devil. It's a result of sin. Sin entered the world, and the whole creation became corrupt. Animals that had been herbivores became carnivores. Microbes and all of these viruses and bacteria. I don't know what their original purpose is, but it wasn't to destroy and kill and cause the damage that they do today. This is the result of a fallen world. But Jesus came, and by His stripes we are healed. Jesus wants you well. He has provided it. But it's available to us. He doesn't just automatically force it upon you. It's not just going to be intravenously fed into you. You have to believe to receive. You have to stretch yourself out. And that's one of the purposes of these programs, is for me to stir you up and to counter the things that this world is saying, basically, that you can't control these things. That, you know, it's just part of life, that you've got to struggle and you've got to be sick. And then religion comes along and amplifies these things and says not only is it a part of life, but it's God doing this to you. It's God's way of breaking you and punishing you, and it's His way of humbling you, and God gets glory out of sickness. That goes against everything that the New Testament teaches. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When Jesus healed people, it says they glorified God. People don't glorify God when they see somebody struggling and sick and in a wheelchair and all of these kind of things. This is not saying that those people are bad. I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm saying that God wants you well. But before it's going to happen, you've got to believe to receive. Very similar to salvation. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not slack concerning His promises as some man count slackness, but He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single person to be saved. He wants them to have a relationship with God. Does every person have a relationship with God? Certainly not. And certainly not even the majority of people. But is it because God doesn't want them to be saved? No, it's because they aren't receiving. Many people totally reject it and are bitter and angry and rejecting God. Other people just, they're too busy with other things and they neglect the things of God. There's some people that are deceived, thinking that, well, I'm a good person. That's bound to be good enough. Or I go to church and they're deceived. There's multiple reasons why not everybody is saved, but it's not because it's not God's will. Likewise, there are multiple reasons why not every person is healed. There are some people that just totally reject it and don't believe that it's for them. They hate this. They're mad at me for even teaching on this. I can guarantee you, you aren't going to receive the supernatural healing power of God because you aren't believing. There's other people that just, they pray out of desperation and ask God to do it, but they don't understand that they have anything to do with it, that they can control and make the healing power of God manifest. And because of this wrong doctrine, they aren't going to receive their healing. And there's just multiple reasons. I'm not down on anybody any more than I'm down on people who aren't saved saying they're terrible people. Many times it's just because they don't know the truth. And so I'm doing everything I can. I'm on television. I'm on radio. I'm doing all of these things trying to reach people and tell them the good news. And in the same way, that's why I am emphasizing healing, because God wants you to be well just the same as He wants you to come to know Him, receive your forgiveness of sins, and go to heaven instead of hell. God wants you well, but it comes through you renewing your mind, through belief and through faith. And I'm going to be sharing some things with you that I guarantee you will make a huge, huge difference in your life. So today I just tried to encourage you that this is something that you need to drop your barriers, your prejudice against divine healing. Has every person represented God correctly in the area of divine healing? No, absolutely not. But that is no reason for you to reject the supernatural healing of God. Has every person represented God correctly concerning salvation? No, but that's no reason to reject salvation. I tell you, I'm going to be sharing things that I believe are going to make a huge difference in your life, and I encourage you to please listen and take advantage of this.
Today's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available as part of the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on CD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on Today's TV Offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 Drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268. But you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 Drive for a gift of $85 or more. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, Healing is in Christ's Atonement. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of March, he'll be in Yorba Linda, Riverside, Pasadena, and Santa Clara, California, and in Woodland Park, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days and for the grand opening celebration for the new Charis Bible College campus. In April, he'll be in Mobile and Birmingham, Alabama, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. And in June, he'll be in Nice, France, and again in Woodland Park, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
We were under a curse. And a lot of us Christians go to the grave without ever knowing grace. My name is Joe. We came out of an abusive church. Everything we did or didn't do, if we didn't do it, we were under a curse. The problem was, God had been dealing with me on one particular scripture, and it was in Galatians about Jesus becoming the curse for us. And this was my heartfelt cry to the Lord. I said, Lord, did Satan have something in his back pocket, a curse that you just didn't see? Why are we always cursed?
Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus redeemed us. Redeem means the liberating effect that's procured by the payment of a ransom.
The very thing God was dealing with me on that particular scripture in Galatians, Andrew was preaching on it. What he said had sat so right with me, and I said, I got a hunch. This is what I've been looking for a long time. I believe in everybody's heart, there's a certain spot reserved for grace.